Heavenly Father, every good and perfect gift comes down from you. From you, the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We are your children and we long for you to feed us. We long to be like Samuel and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." We're listening, Lord. We want to be taught by you. So speak to us and send your Spirit to bless the reading and preaching of your word, that we might never be the same again, that we might be made more like Christ today than yesterday, more like Christ tomorrow than today. Hear us and help us. Lord, have mercy upon us. We pray in Jesus' great name. Amen. Live, right? Get that out of the way. If you have a green sheet in your bulletin, a sermon outline, and I'll focus on just a single verse of Scripture, bring in many others along the way. John 1:29, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Memorized it. Today is a good time to start. Easy. Flows off the tongue easily. Teach it to your children. Remind yourself of it. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. Well, that last hymn really tees us up well for my introduction. You know that this month we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. Armstrong's famous, "One small step for man, one giant leap." Know that Buzz Aldrin, a tiny communion kit with him, along on the Apollo 11 mission. Aldrin is a man of faith, an elder in a church in Webster, Texas. And his church gave him that small communion set to bring. He wanted to share his faith in Christ. On the moon, he took the bread, he took the cup. His words from John chapter 15. "Last Supper," which said, "From the vine, you were the bread. You will bear much fruit." And again, before they got back to earth, Aldrin read another script, Psalm number 8. These verses, which fit so well with that last song, Psalm 8, says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place, what and that you are mindful of him, the Son of that you care for him." Aldrin wrote those scriptures down on a 3x5 card, and that card sold at auction for $180,000. As we come to the Lord's table today, beloved, I want us to think words, just that single verse, John 1:29. "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Let's listen to the scriptures and hear what the Spirit says and in other related passages. In the first place, I remind you that John reminds us to beware attachment to preachers without attachment to Christ. John the Baptist has pizzazz. He would have been great on television, great on the internet. All the cameras would come in to catch this guy on film, or whatever they call it now. Don't use film anymore. John the Baptist is an engaging messenger. Chapter 6 says, "Wicked King Herod enjoys John's preaching, but Herod never trusted Christ." It happens in our day. beloved. A woman was dying for a radio preacher. The preacher arrived at the hospital and was relieved. She says, "I've heard you many times. I'm so glad you're here." And he says, "I'm glad to be here, lady. But do you know Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior?" And the woman doesn't get it. She says, "Listen all the time. I'm so glad you're here." And the preacher says, "Dear woman, you are going to die. And it's eternally important that you now and ask him to have mercy on you." She still doesn't get it. And the woman dies at coming to faith in Christ. Don't let that happen to you, beloved. Don't let that happen to you. In a short time, four of us have died. They were all Christians, thanks be to God. But our days. Psalm 90, verse 12. Of Moses, he prays, "Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Beloved, that life attachment to Christ. John says in that verse, "Behold, look at, don't miss this. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Trust in him. Don't look at me. Just his messenger. He's the bridegroom, just the bridegroom's friend. Don't look at me," John says. "Jesus must increase, must decrease." Beloved, a gentle warning, don't miss Jesus Christ. Number two, John warns us to beware looking at ourselves instead of Christ. And John the Baptist is a very special man. He had a miracle birth. You can read about it in the opening chapter. Parents, they're God-loving, God-following people. They're Old Testament believers. That's sinless. But God has done Jeremiah 31 in them. God has made them new people from the inside. The Holy Spirit comes on John when he's in his mother's womb, just like Jeremiah the prophet, to set John apart, be the Lord. Jesus, of those born of women, who does that include? I think it includes everybody. All of us are born of women. From a mom, whether we knew. Jesus says, of those born of women, meaning everybody, John the Baptist is the greatest. The privileged man. John is his cousin. But notice, John is not counting on his family line. He's not counting on his religious background. John is not even counting on his unique Christian. He says, "Behold, look, don't miss Jesus. He's the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world." John says, "I only baptize with water. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit." That's what we love. That's what we need. God to do a work of grace in us. God to take away the heart of stone. God to make the heart of flesh. God to make us new people from inside out. John says you better be looking at Christ. Spurgeon says it's hard to get people to take their eyes off of themselves, their accomplishments, off of their religious ceremonies and creeds. Spurgeon says it's hard to get people to look at the living Christ by faith and call on him for salvation. So beware attachment to preachers without attachment to Christ. Beware looking at ourselves instead of at God's Son. Third, and I'll spend more time here, John says Jesus, the Christ, is the substance of God. That's the main point of verse 29. behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lamb is the word A-M-N-O-S. And it's a word for sacrifice. And back then, John was speaking to a mostly Jewish prepared by God to understand this idea of a sacrificial lamb. When John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the audience would be thinking, oh, I remember Abraham offering up Isaac on Mount Moriah. They'd be thinking about that. Isaac says, remember, here's the fire, here's the wood, but Father, where's the lamb for the offering? And Dad says, God himself will provide. The Lord is pointing to Jesus 2,000 years before his first coming through Abraham. It would be thinking as well in Moses' day. Remember what he says, smear the blood from the lamb on the top of your door frames. And when I come to strike down the Egyptians, when I will pass over you, and I will not permit the destroyer to strike you down. That's what they'd be thinking of. The Lord is pointing to Jesus 1,400 years ahead of time in Moses' day. I'd be thinking also, I bet, about what God says in Isaiah chapter 53. Remember the message? We all like sheep have gone astray, each to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him, that is on Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the seed of the woman who's come to crush the head of the serpent, God lays upon Jesus the iniquities of us all. That's what they'd be thinking about. Isaiah points to Christ 700 years. It says, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who fulfills all these scriptures, and who has come to wash away our sin. John has all of that in mind. The people should have understood who Jesus is. He came to do. Italy, the lamb up near the peak. When the church was being built, so look at a peak. Look at our highest spot here. Maybe up in that corner is the closest I can get to that in this building. A lamb carved into the stone up there. Well, the workman put it there because when the building was being built, he fell off the scaffold and he fell onto a flock of lambs who were walking by the building site. And he fell and he crushed. Came back to work, he put a lamb up there to remind himself of how God had spared him, about how God was good to him, and more than that, to remind everybody about Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin. Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. Don't miss the point that Jesus washes sin away. It's good news. Away. One of my favorite verses, 7, 1 John 1, 7 says, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. Better with a New York accent. All sin. A-W-L sin. All sin. Every single bit of it. Our secret sins and our scandals. Our sins against God and our sins against other people. Our sins of omission. When we come to Christ, he takes them all away. He washes us. He makes us clean. He makes us whiter than says Christ, the power of reigning sin, prisoner free. His blood can make foulest clean. His blood is a trustworthy saying, worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Admit we're the worst, beloved. Admit we're the worst. Don't be looking down on anybody. Admit to God that each of us is the worst for the moment, and ask God to be merciful to us in Christ. Jesus is the Lamb of God and rose again, that we would not be hurt by the second death. And God's people sing, God's people say, hallelujah! What a Savior! God could have taken away sin by taking away sinners. That's what God did in the flood in Noah's day, right? God took away sin by getting rid of the sinners. But Noah and Noah were still sinners, so get rid of it even at that time. Thank God, beloved. Thank God, beloved, that in Christ the holy, holy, holy God provides the one and only way to take away sin. Sinners. Corinthians 5:21 says, the sinless Jesus, sin offering for us, so that in him we might be made the righteousness of God. Amazing. You've heard it so many times, don't take it for granted. Our sin was laid upon Christ, and his perfect righteousness laid upon us. What a good deal that is, huh? Our sin imputed to him, his righteousness accounted to us. It's a marvelous exchange. Jack, my teacher, said, on your own, you're a lot worse than you could be. But connected to Jesus Christ, you are far more loved than you could ever imagine being. You are loved if you're a Christian with God's everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath you are God's everlasting love. That's the only way we made it here today, beloved. That's the only way. The Lord carried us through the week and brought us here. He gives us peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus takes evil by his sacrificial death, and he reconciles us to God. He makes all of God's believers, all of Jesus' followers, God's sons and daughters by adoption. God makes us, makes you, Jesus' little brothers and sisters. God makes you, if you're a Christian, a temple of the Holy Spirit. Temples individually and temples together as a family. I don't know this one. 1 Corinthians 3:23 says, you, beloved, every single believer in Christ belongs to God. You can't be any safer than that. Spurgeon says believers have perfect peace in Christ, because looking, see no burning. Looking downward, we see we're not condemned to hell. Looking around us, or looking ahead of us, we see God's glory shining in the future before us. Looking around, We see God working all things together for our good, looking inward. Christ's perfect peace that transcends all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Words are present tense in the English Bible and in the Greek Bible. Present tense meaning continuous action. What if I sin after I become a Christian? You will sin after you become a Christian. I sin all the time as a Christian, but God washes me. He washes you again. Come back to the Lord. A million times come back to the Lord. No one goes to heaven. Keep on coming to the Lord. Cooper's hymn says, "Dear dying Lamb, your precious blood shall never lose its power till all the wrath of God be saved to sin no more." You're supposed to say back, "Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till God be saved to sin no more." No more. No more. Somebody says to her, "Won't it be great to be in heaven? And you'll be able to walk and run." And she says, "Oh, no, 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 no. That's not the best part of heaven." He says, "The best part of heaven is that I won't sin anymore. That's the best part of heaven. I won't sin. You won't sin. No one of God's people will sin anymore. The Lord will finish the job. He takes us home." That's the good news. That's what he's talking about. Number four, don't forget saving faith in Jesus Christ is required. Saving faith in Jesus Christ is required. The Jews of John the Baptist's day were very superstitious. They kind of thought that the animal sacrifices did the job. The Bible never says that, but many of them kind of thought that. And it can happen in our day too. Christians can think baptism and the Lord's Supper do the job. They don't do the job. Only God can do the job. Only God can work in us by the grace of the Holy Spirit. John points us to Christ, not to any. He points us to Christ. I think about it as growth. You have a new sign up front or newish sign that says Presbyterian. Sign is not the church. Not the church. You were the church. Living stones are the church. But point you to where the church gathers for worship. What are the sacraments? Meaningful in their right place. But what are the sacraments? Our standards say the sacraments are signs to point us to Christ. So don't miss what the Lord's Supper is pointing us to. Don't miss Jesus. Notice that it's meant to point to Him. Use the bread and the wine at the Lord's table like eyeglasses. Now, see if I can do this with the eyeglasses off. He says, "What do you use eyeglasses for? To look at?" No, 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 no. You use eyeglasses to look through. So what is the Lord's Supper? To look at? No. It's to look through. To look up to Christ. That's what the Lord's Supper is for. But message in our head, we're convinced that it's true in our heart. Our life are all to Christ. Don't forget, beloved, saving faith in Jesus Christ is required. Believers receive Jesus as God's free gift. There's nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. Let us say with Paul, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Personal, beloved. Me, himself for me. Quickly, the world means all kinds of people. John is not saying that everybody is and resurrection. All kinds of Christians. Gentile believers in Jesus. Rich and poor, young and old, male and female, followers of every nation, tribe and language. The song says Jesus loves all of his children, all his people in the world. Every color, shape, and size, they are precious in his eyes. Jesus loves all of his children in the world. And lastly, number 6 points us or reminds us to point others. If you read a little more, that the next day, that's after John points Jesus, John stands with his disciples and he points to Jesus again and he says it again, "Behold the Lamb of God." And these men begin to follow Jesus and to remain with him. One of them is Andrew, Peter's brother. And he says, "We've found the Messiah." And he brings his brother to Jesus. The next day, John 1, verse 43, Christ finds Philip. And he says, "Follow me." And Philip finds him. He says, "We found the one the whole Old Testament has been pointing to. He's Jesus of Nazareth." And you see right from the beginning, Jesus uses Christians to bring others to him. It's necessary, beloved, for us to tell others. Not the message to ourselves. Not to hog the blessing to ourselves. I get your newsletter. I read it all the time. I appreciate it. I pray for you when I get the newsletter. Love to see all that you're doing. Where is Linda Cover? She does a great job with the newsletter. Very good newsletter. And I love your emphasis on blessing. B-L. Better than me, but let's see if I can get it right. It's about beginning with prayer for our unsaved friends and family members. Our don't know, pray for them anyway. God knows. Pray for the many bay. Begin with prayer in them. Listen to people. Care for them. B, begin with prayer. L, listen to them. Instead of talking all the time, listen more than you talk. Two ears, one mouth. Listen more than we talk. Listen to them, care for them, get to know them, become interested in them, eat with them. Nobody ever turned me down for a free meal. Nobody ever turned me down for a free meal. They knew I was going to evangelize them, but they came anyway for the free meal. They know my wife is a good cook, so they came anyway. Begin. Early Christians were known for their hospitality, for loving people and bringing them home. Letter S, serve them according to what they need. Figure out what they need. Figure out how you can consider their needs rather than what you want to say. And then share your story. B-L-E. Begin with prayer. Listen to people. Eat with them. Serve them. And share your story, which is really the Jesus story. More important that you tell them about him then you tell them about you. You're just the messenger. You're like John the Baptist, pointing, pointing, pointing. Jesus, is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are we to be his people.